Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 237, part two. Oh, the hubris I had thinking I could record two full podcasts and get them all done on the same day, which totally didn't happen. So this is number 237, part two, and it is now March 29th, 2019. Here's my next letter, and we're hearing back from a guy from podcast number 234. And in that podcast, it was pegging celebration time for the two of them with a very, very lovely and sweet first experience. Here's the update. Dear Ruby, it's so good having news from you. I did listen to podcast number 234, and I was so thrilled when you read my letter. Thank you so much for sharing my experience. I am so grateful to you, and I hold you very dear and close to my heart. I wish you could do more, and from time to time, I promise that I will throw a tip in the jar via PayPal, as I did the same day I wrote my story for your podcast. You mentioned my name, by the way, in that very podcast. I'm Raphael. There's been some development since I wrote my story, and I've had some issues. Maybe you could help. Since we ordered our harness and dildo, I was so excited to try it, and I couldn't think about anything else. The horniness was out of control, really. When the order arrived, my wife pegged me, and it was an incredible experience. A couple of days after, we tried to have PIV sex, but I couldn't have an erection. I thought it was due to the extreme mix of excitement and anxiety of the pegging thing. So instead of me fucking her, it was me who got fucked again. And this time, though, the orgasm was much stronger. Afterwards, when we were cuddling, I had an emotional breakdown, and the love and gratefulness that I felt for her was so overwhelming that I cried in her arms. I didn't expect a reaction like that at all. After that pegging session, all the horniness disappeared, and I fell in a very low libido state that lasted almost 2 weeks, in which I couldn't have an erection strong enough to make love to my wife. Well, not exactly. I could have erections, just not with her. Maybe the last failure got me in an anxiety loop? Who knows? We didn't try pegging in those 2 weeks, as I consider pegging a secondary thing. My wife always comes first to me, so if I couldn't fuck her, pegging was out of the question. My wife also expressed some concerns that the pegging thing could have broken me somehow. She thought it was related. Besides that, ever since we started pegging, I discovered that I fantasize with my wife being more dominant when it's my turn to be penetrated. Nothing too rough, just teasing me, ordering me to please her, and having her way, fucking me. I've been the leading sexual member since the beginning of our relationship, so letting it go from time to time is so appealing to me now. I'm a bit worried, though, because I cannot isolate the real issue or issues that made difficult having normal sex. My wife is so hot to me, and PIV sex is not only exciting, but has a lot of emotional implications, too. I'm having such a hard time understanding what's going on. My wife is very supportive and understanding, and even though she tried to hide her disappointment, I could tell she was, and that broke my heart. Could it be that there is so much new things on my plate right now? Maybe the novelty of all of this? I feel that things are slowly improving and my libido is coming back. In fact, we have been able to have regular sex a couple of times, and I think that we're ready to start pegging again, but I fear the possibility that things could go backwards again. Do you have any ideas or suggestions that could work for us? I appreciate a lot your help, and kudos to you for your remarkable work. Sincerely, Raphael. So, Raphael, the first thing I have to say is that many times in life, things follow what I call the swing of the pendulum. So if something is way over to one side for a while, then when things change, it tends to go way over to the other side for a while until it evens out. I am picturing you having been the one in control for so long, because you mentioned that. You said, I have been the leading sexual member since the beginning of our relationship, so letting it go from time to time is so appealing to me now. You have echoed what so many men out there have expressed and have enjoyed about pegging is, you know, I'm in control all the time. And it's not just the sexual thing. It's in control as a male in society all the time. You're always expected to be in charge, in control, strong, not vulnerable. And here in pegging, you are being given the chance to be vulnerable, really vulnerable, because you had this beautiful emotional reaction. And I do know that you have taken my class, so you heard me talk about how emotional reactions to pegging are an okay thing. It doesn't mean you're broken, you're fine, and that it does happen sometimes. For all you listeners out there, I'm going to tell the story right here, right now, because this is so important. And everybody who takes a webinar from me hears this story, because this is how important it is. So here's the deal. G-spots and prostates have a lot of things in common. One of the things that they have in common is the possibility of having an emotional response when you have that part of your body stimulated. For example, here's my story. I was interested in this whole G-spot thing, so I kind of fished around and tried to find a spot in me that felt good, and I really wasn't impressed. Didn't really find anything. Didn't try real hard. And then comes along a lover who is a geek, and he researches how to stimulate my G-spot on the internet, and he brings these skills to bed. And so we were all totally relaxed. We'd had a lot of sex already. We used to meet for hotel sex. Have this lovely 24-hour fun. So we were pretty relaxed after already having fucked a few times. And he starts stimulating my G-spot. And it feels really nice. And it feels even better. And it feels really, really good. And then all of a sudden, completely as a surprise to both of us, I'm in tears. I have no idea why. I'm just in tears. So he sees what's happening. He stops what he's doing. He comes to the top of the bed. He takes me into his arms and he says, "Just let it out, honey." So I felt safe. I did cry for a little bit. And then when I stopped crying, he just kind of looked at me, sort of bemused, if you will. And he's like, "So what was that?" And I said, "I don't know." And we both laughed. I did some research and found a book called Female Ejaculation and the G-Spot by Deborah Sundahl, S-U-N-D-A-H-L. I'll put a link to that in the Linkorama. And in that book, I discovered that it is not unusual for women, especially women in their 50s, which I was at that time, to have emotional reaction to G-spot stimulation. So usually when I teach a class in person and I have a bunch of people in front of me, I will say, how many of you women out there have had an emotional reaction to G-spot stimulation? And usually about a third of the women will raise their hand. So the reason this whole story gets told is because, again, back to what I said in the beginning, a lot of similarities between G-spot and prostate. This can happen with prostate stimulation too. It can be even more of an unexpected and jolting and unnerving kind of thing for both parties in the pegging formula, primarily because men, typically with society's bullshit rules, are not supposed to have emotional reactions, not supposed to have tears, and all of this stupid stuff. And I know that varies from what country you're from. If you're from the United States, it's a pretty strong society bullshit rule thing. So there you are, and you're pegging along, and if you're the giver, and you're all of a sudden your partner's in tears, what do? You handle it as well as that guy handled it with me. You stop what you're doing, you offer a place in your arms, and you say, "Just let it out, honey." Because that's providing a safe space. What you don't want to do is you don't want to get all freaked out and like, "Oh my God, am I hurting you? Are you okay? What did I do? La la la." You just hold space for the emotions, because in that moment, you have someone at their most vulnerable, their most tender, and you need to handle it as well as that guy handled it with me. So I admonish every person who takes my webinar or my classes in person. This is the deal, because this is the one thing that people are not talking about with pegging and with prostate stimulation, is that sometimes there's an emotional reaction. And think of it like if you're the receiver, right? All of a sudden you feel all of these huge emotions welling up inside of you. And maybe it's not in the middle of pegging. Maybe it's afterwards, like you, Raphael. And, you know, what do you do with that? You let it out, and hopefully you have a partner who can handle all this. But know that you're not broken. You are absolutely not broken. So with the word broken, I'm going to go back to that part about how your wife thinks you might be broken because of the lack of getting an erection. It's interesting to me that the lack of erection thing is happening, because I actually get more letters from guys saying that their erections are stronger and harder and last longer, mainly because When you stimulate the prostate, it makes things flow. It increases the circulation in that whole area. And circulation is what your erection thrives off of. So I'm thinking that the lack of erection is like you say, that, you know, a lot of new things on your plate, the novelty of it all. And then back to the example of the pendulum, I think it's the swing of the pendulum. It felt so delicious for you to let go of that control, to be in the more receptive, somewhat submissive place, to be fucked, to be taken by her, especially with those leanings you expressed about how you'd like her to be a little bit more dominant. That grabbing that mantle again, if you will, and stepping back into that masculine, dominant, I'm going to fuck you space was a little difficult. I think that the more time that goes by, you will have an easier time switching from one to the other. And for your wife, I would recommend a book by Janet Hardy. It's called The Sexually Dominant Woman, An Illustrated Guide for Nervous Beginners. It's a fantastic book. She reissued this book and did some lovely drawings with it, and it's full of so many ideas that if this is something that your wife is open to, it could be really fun. Or the two of you can read it together and you can kind of look at parts and go, ooh, that sounds good. But when you say that you would like her to be more dominant with you, don't make the mistake of just telling her, you know, I want you to be more dominant with me, because that word dominant can mean so many different things. So either you have some things in your head that you're thinking you would like her to do, and you can get really, really specific about those things and have a conversation with her and tell her those things, or you can just look at the book together. You know, this book is almost like a podcast number 112, listening to it together, because it has so many different ideas on how to be dominant. I will have a link for that in the Linkorama for you as well. So those are the suggestions and ideas that I have for you. I hope that you are going back and forth between receiving and giving with ease at this point. And no, nothing is broken. You're fine. I remember that Dan Savage says, you know, there's so many different things that can affect erections. And basically, you just have to believe. He says it's like Tinkerbell. You just have to believe. And I think that's true. I can't relate. I don't have something that needs to get hard, but I know that there's a lot of psychological and emotional things that can affect it as well. Thank you for the letter, for sharing all that with us, and let us know what's happening. Let us know how it's been going. Okay, here's my next letter. Very short. The subject is just pegging. I have an interest in my wife pegging me. She is also intrigued. My question is, I had my prostate removed, and I have a penile pump. Will I feel anything if I get pegged? You know, I actually have some information for you regarding this, because I answered a question sometime back in a past podcast, and I'm going to find that number for you in just a minute here. And it was a question from a woman who regularly pegged her husband and really enjoyed it. And so did he, and he needed a prostatectomy. So she was wondering how that would affect things. I went to my holy grail of sources regarding all things prostate, which is the Aneros forum, Aneros website. Aneros is that solo prostate stimulation toy. And on aneros.com, A-N-E-R-O-S, is a forum, and it's a whole bunch of guys all talking about the different ways to stimulate your prostate with the different toys, the different types of orgasms you can do, all kinds of different stuff, right? So I went there and I asked around, and sure enough, I found a guy who had been doing pegging throughout. So he'd been enjoying the pegging, and then he had to have the prostatectomy. He gave me some percentages, and I'm not sure if I'm getting this right, and I am going to link to the podcast where I answered this question, but I believe he said he had about 60% of similar feelings of pleasure, even without the prostate there, because there's a bunch of tissue all around there that is excitable tissue as well. One of the things he did mention, though, is that it was such a sensual, emotionally close act for he and his wife that they still very much enjoyed doing it, even though the level of pleasure that he attained was less. He did say that in the beginning it was much less, and that it got a little bit better over time after things healed. This is what I recall. He goes into detail as well about the type of prostatectomy and the type of treatment that he chose, because that is a critical part of it. So yes, I have looked up which podcast it was, and it's actually plural. There's two. I first addressed this way back in podcast number 35, and then I readdressed it in podcast number 168. If you want to, you can listen to both. I'll put the links for those in the Linkorama. But those are the two podcasts where I got the initial question, and then I went back to revisit it and read it again, I think, pretty much word for word, because it was something that I thought should be out there in the world more than just the once. So there you go. That is where you'll find the information, the best information that I have about it. So there you go. Thanks for the letter. Here is my next one. Introducing Chastity. Hello, Ruby. I hope you are doing well. I wrote in once before looking for advice on equipment, still working on that, but this time I wanted to ask a few questions regarding a topic that is sort of pegging adjacent. There's been a not insignificant amount of discussion about male chastity on your podcast, and I have to admit, it's pushed me to start experimenting in that arena a little more. I purchased a cheap chastity device, the captive ball type, online and have been wearing it for several days. So far, I'm really enjoying the constant sensation of the device embracing my equipment. I'm riding this on day 4 of my captivity, all of which has been smooth sailing aside from a few removals for cleaning, going to the gym, and sleeping. Last night, I slept with the cage on and was only awoken once, about an hour before my alarm, so not so bad. My girlfriend and I are in a healthy and happy relationship. I revealed to her my desire for strap-on sex quite some time ago, and it's an activity we engage in occasionally. We have had some awkwardness getting into the groove, and I think higher quality equipment would go a long way towards fixing that. Despite that, it is something she has told me she genuinely enjoys, and she relishes a chance to bend me over and pound me silly. She's not a dominant person by nature, but has found some of her inner dom in the process. I say all of this to illustrate that I'm with a partner who is open-minded sexually and who is not opposed to experimenting with kink. She is actually a sex educator herself, working for a non-profit in our area, so you two probably have a lot in common. Nevertheless, I'm a little nervous about bringing up chastity with her, since despite all we have shared together already, I feel like chastity might come across as a little extreme. I obviously want her to be comfortable with the whole arrangement, and for us to take things only as quickly as she's comfortable. I want to reassure her that this is something I think would be fun for us both, rather than to demand her to act as a fetish dispenser for my desires. Here's my big question. We both like sex, like a lot. The only reason I'm wearing the device now is because we're having exceptionally busy weeks, and we are apart for a stretch of 5 or 6 days. I haven't told her about my activity yet. Our sex life is great. Our sex drives are well matched, and she is nearly always up for PIV, as am I. Everything I read about chastity, fiction and nonfiction, seems to highlight wives and partners with lower sex drives who find value in curtailing their man's erections. While I find the idea of chastity hot and think there's a lot of opportunity for increased intimacy and fun play, I don't want her to feel gypped out of something she really enjoys. And just to be clear, I have no interest in being locked up in perpetuity either. I just think this might be a fun side dish to our normal activities. I suppose it's something we would have to work out in time with practice. Perhaps chastity only in short bursts while we can't be together. Or I had the thought of chastity play while it is her special time of the month and she normally prefers not to have sex. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about this in regards to broaching the subject in a relationship between two healthy, sexually active, and satisfied 27-year-olds. It seems like we are a bit of an edge case. Thanks so much for your time and for the amazing podcast, Steve. Steve, how exciting. Oh my gosh, I find myself in a similar situation, interestingly enough. I have a lover who has always been fascinated by chastity, and we're kind of edging up to that, interestingly enough. So, looking at your situation, I had all kinds of ideas because I've been thinking a lot about this in my own life. And first of all, I think it's important to recognize that long-term locking up is not good for prostate, okay? That's something I really disagree with. There are people out there who may disagree with me. With everything I know about the prostate, locking off for long periods of time and not doing anything to keep that fluid moving through the prostate, which is the healthiest thing you can do for it, is not a good idea. But there is absolutely the erotic beckoning that chastity can provide for both partners. You mentioned that she is not really a dom, but she really enjoys this whole bending you over and pounding you silly. Well, sometimes you can tap into, like you said, that inner dom thing. And there's a bunch of things that you can do with chastity, like maybe when she's on her period, she could tell you to take it out and stroke it for a little bit and then put it back. The tease and denial part. And it's actually not total denial. It's more like tease and delay, because you will eventually have the orgasm. And when you have the orgasm eventually, it'll be much, much more intense. And so, you know, I'm kind of going off on details here, and I get that your main question is, how do I introduce this to her? I think just be straight up. I mean, you guys seem quite open-minded about all kinds of things. So I think just being straight up and saying, you know what, there's this thing I've been looking at and investigating, and the thought of it really turns me on. And be very clear from the beginning that you do not want to be locked up in perpetuity, and you know she loves sex, so it's not a matter of you're going to deprive her of her favorite thing. It's more like the thought of this just totally floats my boat, and I'm thinking it could be really exciting if we could explore it. If you ask her what her immediate concerns and fears are, then you can start that conversation. And if she says, well, what about if I want to get fucked and you're locked up? I mean, that doesn't appeal to me. I really like it when you fuck me. And you can say, no, that's not my whole intent. And at this juncture, talking about this, I would like to point out one of the things that you can do is you can get a spare parts deuce harness. And that is made for the men. It has two holes. So if you wanted to use it for dual penetration, if your partner's into that, you could. But while you are locked up, you can wear that harness, put whatever kind of toy she wants to get fucked with, and you can give her the longest ride she ever would want for as long as you can last, because you are actually the one wearing the harness and the strap on, and she's still getting fucked. Now, it's not going to feel exactly like your cock, but it can be all kinds of different experiences as well. So while you're in chastity, it can also be a fun little thing where it's like, oh, I want you to fuck me with that one that's kind of a little more firm and has that beautiful curve to it, so it hits my G-spot. Or I want you to fuck me with the one that's really wide because it stretches me and it feels really good. You know, whatever, just different. And I do mean just different. So many times when men think about strapping on a cock and fucking their partner with it, they think, well, of course she's going to want bigger and longer. And oh my God, just don't default to that. Shorter and wider can be really fun, because if you have a long cock, maybe it hits her cervix and you guys can only do certain positions. Maybe your partner doesn't like to be stretched and they would like something a little smaller. Maybe they would want something a different texture. Maybe they'd want something with little ridges on it. I mean, there's so many different possibilities. So it could be a fun thing to kind of do those things in conjunction of like, okay, you're going to be locked up for the next 4 days and every fucking night you are going to fuck me with, you can hear it in my voice, every fucking night I get the dominant thing going on. You're going to fuck me with whatever toy I choose. See? So this is like, she's not deprived at all, right? But one of the things I'll suggest to you is something that I actually said to my partner. Once you put that cage on, it's not there forever. It's the beginning of an exploration. And the whole idea is to find the sweet spot that not only works best for you, but for me too. And we're long distance, so it's very different. You guys are together and partners and married and all that. But that's the whole point. That's the beginning of the exploration. And to treat it like an exploration. And know that if you go further down one road and that doesn't feel right, that you can change it. And experience the dynamic of chastity in a different way. I don't really have any introductory materials about what it's all about. And I'm sure there's a wealth of information like that on the internet. but I salute you, sir, for walking down the path of something that has beckoned to you. That's kind of what I did. It's taken a few years, and I thought, you know, whoa, chastity, whatever. But, and now I'm like, ooh, that thought of that totally turns me on. And I'm quite dominant, so there you have it. But the idea of having a beautiful chain around my neck with the key that has locked up that device, ooh, that is lovely. I mean, I would do things like call up my long-distance partner, and he would have a key too, of course, but it's sort of like, take it out and get it hard and talk to me. Okay, now put it back. Because I'm totally into teasing very much. That really turns my crank, floats my boat, frosts my cake. All of those things, yes. So have fun with it and tell us the stories. Thanks for writing in, Steve. Oh, and before I leave this topic, I wanted to add that I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama to a blog post called Chastity and Pegging, where somebody wrote in and told me all the reasons why the two would be cool to combine and what people like about it. That was back in 2014, so that will be in the Linkorama as well. All right, here is another one. This is something I found on Reddit. Some help needed, so I'll try and keep it brief. After our first pegging session last weekend, this weekend my wife, 45, and I, 46, went out for a meal. She dressed up for the occasion, much to my surprise, in fishnet stockings, basque, and heels, all hidden under a loose-fitting dress. To cut a long story short, we came home later that evening. I was horny as fuck, and we started making out, talking as we did. Stripping out of our clothes, we fall to the bed, only for my significant other to suggest another pegging session. I was super turned on, as I wasn't sure if our strap-on action was going to be repeated after last weekend. However, it turns out that she gets off on fucking me. I quickly cleaned up for her, heading back to the bedroom, only to see her in just her sexy lingerie, tooled up with her strap-on poking out in front of her, kneeling on the bed. Wow, what a sight. Going to kiss her, she gives me a passionate tongued kiss before pushing me to the bed, flipping me over, and yanking my boxers down. Gazing back at her, I see her lubing up the strap-on before I feel it at my anus. A slow, gentle push, and she's in. Stroking my back, she eases it all the way in. I'm in heaven. She then sets to giving me a good fucking with her newfound best toy. She's complimenting me on my broad shoulders, slim waist, and grippable hips, all whilst fucking me like I fuck her, doggy style. The feelings are intense, and I'm quickly moaning. This continues for about 15 to 20 minutes, with her panting away behind me, filling me up. The pleasurable sensation is there, however, I just don't come, and I don't know why not. Looking back at her, she is super hot. Her lingerie stunning, and I absolutely love her in stockings, one of my fetishes. She has a proper fuck face on her as she is banging me, but I just don't feel like I will come, although I need to. I suggest I swap places with her, fucking her doggy style, to which she agrees. From behind, I compliment her in her choice of lingerie, rubbing her stocking legs and basque-covered waist as we fuck. She says, "Maybe I should fuck you wearing something like this, too." Within seconds, I'm coming, grinding myself against her before we collapse to the bed. She then looks me in the eyes and says, "When I said I'd fuck you in underwear, made you come faster than when I was fucking your arse," she says. Now I'm confused at number one. I originally suggested pegging to her, and of which I love the feeling and mind games it plays, but it feels like I'm hesitant to come like that, maybe a little scared to in that way. Two, why PIV sex guarantees my, and usually our, orgasm, but not anal? And three, why the suggestion of wearing lingerie made me come super quick? Am I reading too much into all this? Okay, number one, not all men come from pegging. Boom, just like that, just like not all women come from PIV. Some do, some don't. There's such a wide variety, and it's really individual, and you are who you are, and that's okay. There's no shoulds, there's no what's wrong with me, there's no why can't I. You just enjoy what's there. The range of responses goes all the way from men who really don't want their cock touched at all while they're having prostate stimulation or getting pegged, because it's a different type of pleasure and they don't want the distraction that cock stimulation provides. There are other men who they just have to have both at the same time, and literally they will be jerking themselves off unless you tie their hands, which I really like to do. And then there's in between, like, oh, I love getting pegged, and I don't want you to touch my cock until I'm ready to come. And that's how I come, is when I do the cock thing. Now, there are some things that I know that can encourage a hands-free orgasm, which it sounds like you are trying to do. Abstinence is one of them. Abstain from any orgasms for a number of days before you do the pegging, so you're kind of on edge, if you will. In fact, you can do edging as well as abstaining. You can bring yourself right up to the brink of orgasm several times during those days, and then you're ready to do the pegging. That will leave you very much on edge and quite responsive, more responsive than usual. Relaxation is huge. I have also heard from some men that kind of setting the scene is a factor as well. So, for example, you've heard women say, I want to be romanced. I want the candles. I want the romance. I want, you know, the dress up. I want all of it. I want to feel like I'm special. I have heard men say this actually helps them attain a hands-free orgasm because it's this slow, seductive foreplay, and that is what gets them there. And let's see, I also know that at sort of a critical point where you feel like maybe you could come but you're not quite there, if you clench your ass around the toy, that seems to intensify the feelings and sometimes push some men over the brink into a spasm. Now, some guys feel that spasm inside and they don't ejaculate anything. It's more of an internal orgasm. Some guys have a full-on ejaculatory orgasm. Some have like a little mini peak and it definitely feels like one, but it wasn't anything huge. I mean, there's a whole variety of different things that can happen, but there you go. You might be a little scared to come in that way, but I totally encourage you to just relax and enjoy the pleasure and just see what happens. Now, PIV sex guarantees your orgasm because that is stimulating your cock. It is not stimulating your prostate. That is why PIV sex guarantees your orgasm, but not anal. Now, then the last one is really fun. The suggestion of wearing lingerie made you come super quick. Well, that's a cool thing. That's totally awesome. That's like tapping into something that you didn't know turned you on. And maybe just the thought of it turns you on. That doesn't mean you have to go out tomorrow and buy a whole bunch of panties and lingerie, right? You could, or you could just think about it, or you could maybe put on a pair of your wife's for fun, or all kinds of different things. But to me, what that probably signifies is that the idea of that turns you on. Whether or not you actually ever do it is totally up to you. But the fantasy of it, ooh, sent you right over the edge. And how cool that she said that and it triggered your orgasm. That is the coolest thing. So your last question, am I reading too much into all this? Well, reading what? It's just who you are, what you fantasize about, what turns you on, how your body works. You're not reading too much into anything. You have not suddenly become a girl because you're getting fucked, okay? That's the extreme I can take your last question to, the implication. Sort of like, have I lost my manhood entirely because she's fucking me in the ass? No, you have not. And yes, lingerie might turn you on. That's totally awesome. Okay, so I hope I've reassured you. And keep having fun, you two. Here's another letter. Subject is advice. And it's from Not Quite Sure. So after getting married, I found out my husband is bisexual. I'm still trying to process this information. He's recently asked me to try pegging, saying it will help our now unstable marriage. I'm not completely opposed to the idea, although I'm afraid it will bring up maybe old emotions or feelings of when he was with a man. I do still love him, but not 100% on board with trying this. I know it sounds bad and judgmental, but I always said it doesn't bother me if someone is gay, lesbian, transsexual, or bisexual. It doesn't affect me. Let people be who they are. In this particular case, it does affect me. I didn't know. I didn't have the choice to make if I wanted a lifestyle like this or not. Now back to the original question. Sorry, got a little off topic there. If he's definitely bisexual, would pegging be just a partial satisfaction? Or could it be opening a door he claims he has shut? I cannot answer those questions for you, but I can give you a lot of thoughts about your situation. There's a big difference between openly saying, I am bisexual, which means that you are attracted to both genders, and actively having relationships with both genders. Either you trust the commitment he has made to you, and if that is a monogamous commitment, either you trust that or you don't. So if you trust your husband to adhere to those promises he made, if you are in a monogamous marriage, then you trust him. Now, is there a possibility that if you try this pegging thing with him, that he is going to say, you know what, I can't stand it. I really need to go have sex with a guy. It's a possibility, sure. Is it a probability? No, I don't think that happens that often. But there's too many factors to say yes or no, it's going to happen or it's not. And the only one that can answer the question about it being a partial satisfaction would be your husband. I know of couples where the man has these intense bisexual fantasies, but has never even taken that out of the realm of fantasy and gets pegged, and they do role play, and she pretends to be the guy, and they do dirty talk to each other, and it all stays in that realm, and he's never been with a guy, but really kind of considers himself bisexual because the yearnings and the excitement are there, but he is quite happy to stay within the bounds of his monogamous marriage. So there's one example there. At the other extreme, in all the years I've been doing this, which is almost 10 now, there was one guy who got pegged by his wife, and all of a sudden he said, you know what, I am gay, I'm leaving. And that's happened. It's impossible to know this beforehand. But to not do pegging because you have a fear of opening up kind of a can of worms is denying a potential new, fun sexual experience that too many people assume is gay. Okay, being anally stimulated, maybe you could give him such an amazing fucking with whatever equipment and combination of vibration things or whatever you choose with each other, that he could never get that with a real guy fucking him with a real penis. It's hard to say. It's impossible to say. It's not just hard to say. So you mention you didn't have the choice to make if you wanted a lifestyle like this or not. Lifestyle like this, I guess what you mean is being married to someone who has openly said, I'm bisexual. You know, there's a lot of people out there in committed monogamous relationships who are bisexual, who are not having multiple partners, who are not actively going out and fucking the other gender. That's kind of the line I think is the most important one to see here. Is that just because someone says I'm bisexual doesn't mean that they're having more sex with more people just because they're bisexual. That means that's who they're attracted to. And if he has an attraction to men, well, then he has an attraction to men. You could be walking down the street with him and go, honey, 2 o'clock, check out the dude, man. I mean, you could be fine with that and joke about it and point out the handsome guys or the big nice butts or the big muscles or whatever it is that he likes. You guys could talk about that and embrace it as opposed to you being fearful that this is something that's going to upset the balance in your marriage. Will it upset the balance in your marriage? It might, but it also might be something that could be delicious, and you could be like the other couple I mentioned where it's become a part of the fantasy thing. And you could even role play and saying, yeah, the big guy's going to come and fuck you tonight, you know, and you could dress up like a guy and have a big strap on or whatever. There's so many possibilities, see? So the other thing that you might be meaning when you say you didn't choose this lifestyle is that you didn't actively choose to marry someone who you knew was bisexual. And him recently coming out as bisexual was probably really difficult for you and really kind of shook your foundations, because this was not really what you bargained for, and this is a whole new way of looking at things. So I can imagine that right now it's not the easiest, because you're having to really shift, look at things a different way. And I absolutely don't blame you that all of these concerns and some fears are coming up too. But I really encourage you to try and get past the fears. Trust your partner when he says that you're the only one that he wants. And here's why. I think that pegging is an incredibly intimate thing for couples to share. I really, really do. I think that maybe your partner would love to have the opportunity to not have to run the fuck and be in control and do all the things that guys usually do with regular PIV sex. He would like to receive and have you fuck him, and that's part of what he enjoys with men, and that you may enjoy running the fuck and wielding that strap-on cock. And you will both have some appreciation, compassion, and understanding of the usual role that you guys do when it's regular PIV sex, and that'll deepen your intimacy and you'll have a stronger relationship. So, if he claims the door is shut, the question is, do you trust him or do you not? But, you know, I'm really biased here. I think pegging is a freaking awesome thing. So to deny yourself the potential delight of exploring pegging with each other seems like it's a reaction that's based in fear of what might happen, as opposed to being open to see what that experience might bring. Now, you're not me, I'm not you, but this is my mantra in life, and this is condensed down from something I read in a little tiny book called The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment. In each and every moment, every single one of us has the choice to either expand with love or contract with fear. This is my mantra, and I apply it to situations where I'm having a lot of difficulty. Remember at the beginning of the podcast, I talked about this fear that I had? Well, it was clear to me that I did not want to contract in fear anymore. I was going to open with love. I was going to open to whatever may come. And I don't mean you should walk around like that all the time, but this guides me so much, because I find that when I'm making decisions based out of fear, that's not what I want to be doing. So maybe I've given you a bunch of stuff to think about. I hope some of it lands and is helpful for you. And if you do try out pegging, please let us know so that I can play the celebratory music for you. I hope all of this goes a little smoother with time. I can't imagine what it's like to have a partner that all of a sudden goes, you know what, I'm bisexual. Ooh, that's got to be something to shake up your marriage. Absolutely. So I hope the stability has returned a little bit. Good luck to you, and thanks for the letter. Here's my next one. The subject is help. I can't find my poor partner's prostate. His bony butt, though quite sexy, hurts my hip bones when I thrust. I'm no good at handling my silicone cock. Will I ever be able to successfully peg my beautiful slim giant? Any help is appreciated, and it is signed Little Miss Awkward. Oh, man. I hear your frustration, and this is a prime example of the learning curve is steep. It really is. And this is sometimes what it feels like in the beginning. It's like, oh man, this is like not going the way I thought it would, and it's hard, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, and I'm not feeling like this is a fun thing because it's so weird. Or maybe not weird, but just difficult. Difficult, definitely. So you can't find your poor partner's prostate. One of the things you need to do before you start looking for the prostate, especially if you are looking with a toy or your fingers, is to have some kind of sexy times first. Get your partner turned on. Because what happens when you get your partner turned on is that prostate starts manufacturing prostatic fluid. That is its job. And it swells, and it's a little easier to find with your finger, okay? So that's one of the things that will help. And then you mention his bony butt, though quite sexy, hurts my hip bones when I thrust. So get out of doggy style, you know, do a different position. Like I envision, how about you be pillow princess and you make him ride your cock and you do cowboy? That sounds like his bony butt will not hurt you as much. And if it does, there's other options, like you could actually have on a pair of, I don't know, bicycling shorts or something that's a little padded, a pair of sweats with the strap-on strapped on over this piece of clothing so that his bony butt bones won't hurt your hips or other parts of body when you two come together. And you're no good at handling your silicone cock. You will get better at it. It takes practice. It really does. Just take a deep breath and know that it's going to be okay. I'm not sure if you have taken my webinar, but in the webinar at the end, I go through a bunch of different positions that are really good for beginners because they require the least amount of endurance and strength and balance and multitasking and grace, which are all involved in fucking someone. Fucking someone is far harder than most women believe and understand and even could imagine. So you're trying something difficult, and good on you for trying it and for really wanting to successfully peg your beautiful, slim giant. I love that description. So yes, if you want to take the webinar, I go through those positions that are good for beginners, and I talk about the different pros and cons of all of them. Some of them you can see each other and that eye contact can be delicious. Some of them you can even kiss, maybe, depending on how your body lengths match up. And the all-important access to the cock as well is a pro or con in the different positions. But I can show you a bunch of different positions that are much easier than it sounds like what you're doing is you are doing doggy style, which is what most people default to. Not sure why. But it sounds like that's the one you're in if his butt bones are hitting your hip bones. So yes, that is the advice I have for you. Please do check out the webinars. I schedule them regularly. Or you can just check out the positions in my, I think it's the Frequently Asked Questions. There is a section there that talks about what are the best positions. There's a bunch of them listed with links to pictures that show you what I'm talking about. So now, rather than talk about your technique and the difficulty of doing all this, let's talk about his level of pleasure, because the way that you phrase that makes it sound like he's not getting as much pleasure as he would like and you would like him to, and that part hasn't been as successful either. So here's the deal. Prostates vary quite widely in their sensitivity and also what turns them on. If you stick your fingers in there and barely stroke the prostate and your partner's going, whoa, that's amazing, they have a very sensitive one, and maybe a dual density toy would be the best. If you have to put a medium amount of pressure, then a regular silicone toy or a dual density would be fine. But if you have to put a lot of pressure on before they go, oh my God, that's amazing, then you're going to want a really firm toy with a curve to it. For example, the Tantus curve. So these are factors as well. Or he could be someone who likes a wider toy. There are guys out there who really like a bigger diameter toy and really prefer the way that a wider toy will put more pressure on the prostate. But then some guys don't like the width at all. They like the depth. Sometimes it's a bit of a puzzle switching from toy to toy. But right now I would suggest do some playing around with fingers and see if you can locate that prostate and stimulate it, and maybe get like a Enjoy Pure Wand or something and do some prostate stimulation just with a handheld toy. Or take that dildo you have on your equipment off and try it that way, just handheld, because you're still kind of in the learning stage. Once you get more comfortable stimulating his prostate the way that he likes, whether it's with the Pure Wand or the dildo handheld that you have, then perhaps you can think about switching out other toys once you get an idea of what he really likes. Sometimes it is a bit of a puzzle because there's so many different kinds of toys out there. There are also guys who really like texture on their prostate. And in that case, you get a completely different kind of toy, like a Bad Dragon toy. So I wish I had like the magic formula for you. But to start with, I would suggest more finger and handheld play, trying to locate that prostate, trying to get it to feel really good. Because then the more you learn when you do that with your fingers or the Pure Wand or the handheld toy, then you can put that toy in the harness and you know what you're trying to duplicate because you've done it with your hand. Boom. Do take a look at those positions. Specifically, look up the one that's called Take a Break Missionary. I didn't know what to name it, so I named it that, and I had a friend of mine draw a picture of it, okay? But from looking at the picture, you'll be able to figure out how to do it. I think that one would be a good position for you to try because it doesn't require a ton of skill and endurance and all those things that you don't have all that much of in the beginning. And he'll be able to just lay back and relax. His bony butt won't hurt you. Check that one out and give it a try. Okay, then. I think that's all the suggestions I have for you. Good luck to you. Keep practicing. And remember to have fun and laugh about it. Oh my gosh. Laugh at how, you know, it's difficult to handle this cock, right? And also, you can ask for help from him. He has had a cock his whole life. He knows how to use it to fuck. So if he can give you little hints and things like, hey, if you turn your body this way and pull my hips like that, it's a lot easier. Or you could, you know, just buy a sex swing too. You could. Best investment I ever made, man. They're priced either like $600, but holy crap, it makes fucking so easy. And you could benefit from it too. And the thing is you can adjust that swing to any height you need it to be to fuck your lovely, slim, beautiful giant. And he can then adjust it wherever he wants to be to fuck you. I'm big on the sex swing recommendations lately, and I hope that Gym Support really appreciates all of the business I am sending their way. It does break down to a duffel bag. It is freestanding. You do not need a hard point in your ceiling. It's awesome. It makes fucking so easy. So, Little Miss Awkward, please put your chin up, take a deep breath, and know that everything's going to be okay. I am behind you 100% while you are behind him. Thanks for your letter. Keep practicing. Here's a comment on my article approaching her about pegging. Thanks for writing about this subject. I have a slightly different issue. We've been playing with dildos for a couple of years and worked our way up to pegging. My wife was timid at first, but now she is completely into it. However, she is now wanting to see the real thing by bringing in another man. I am not attracted to men at all, but I'm open to it. But I'm afraid this will open up a completely different level of sexuality that both of us might regret. Yes, this is a huge question. Opening up your relationship is something that needs to be agreed on by both of you. And if you decide that this is something you want to explore, the two of you need to sit down and talk it to death. What do I mean by that? I mean you need to talk about all of the, this is something I will allow and that is something I will allow, but these two other things I absolutely don't want to do, I don't even want to think about. You need to know each other's hard limits. You need to have a complete and total agreement that should you do this at any time during the encounter, even if it's before the guy comes over, you can pull the plug. Either one of you can pull the plug for whatever reason, because you need to have that ability to say, no, I'm not into this. This is the way to truly know if it's a consensual thing. I would not suggest doing it if you have an aversion to the idea and you're just doing it to please her. If you want to walk down that road, be very, very careful with that, because that is how you get into situations where you have resentment and you wish you never would have done that. Now, will it change your relationship? Yeah, it probably will. I mean, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden if you try one time to have a guy and have a threesome and do the fun stuff that she wants to do, that you're going to be going to wild fucking parties every night and, you know, this kind of thing. And that she will never ever be satisfied with just you again. But you need to talk about those questions as well. Like, what do you foresee happening once we do this if we like it? And what do you foresee happening if we try this and one of us doesn't like it and we never do it again? And if I absolutely say no, I won't do this because I don't want to, how does that feel? Where does that sit with you? These are all really important questions to talk about. And if you decide to do it, the details are really important. Will it be someone you know? Will it be someone that you answer an ad and then meet somewhere? What are the criteria? Are they going to spend the night? Is it going to be a one-time thing or a continuing thing? Or is it you don't know until you meet the person and you're open to it? See what I mean? So many questions. So I suggest that if you start talking about it with the intention of potentially doing it. You're just entertaining it at this point, that you let it percolate. You put that in your heads, and then you come together periodically and say, okay, let's talk some more about this. And you talk about all the things that you have thought about and wanted to ask or say about the situation since the last time that you talked about it. And you do that until you really feel like you have pretty much discussed it all, you're both on the same page, and you want to give it a try. If you say you're open to it, even though you're not attracted to men, it could be a really hot thing. And if your wife gets so turned on by the whole scene, you could take a lot of pleasure out of her pleasure. But there needs to be really, really, really clear guidelines, agreements about how it all will go down. That is my advice to you. And when I say talk about everything, I mean talk about birth control. Talk about who's going to do what. Agree what you will do and what you won't. Are you going to suck his cock? Is he going to suck yours? Is he going to fuck you? Is he going to wear a condom? Are you going to wear a condom? Do you want to fuck him? Is he going to fuck you? Are either of you going to fuck her? See what I mean? There's so many things to talk about. And once you've agreed on that, then it's really important that you stick to it. And if you decide to do this, you can't change the rules in the middle of everything just because you get carried away and you really want to suck his cock even though you said you weren't going to, or she wants you to suck his cock even though you said you didn't want to. See what I mean? Lots and lots of stuff to talk about. There's no way to tell that if you try it, it's something you regret. But the best way to try and ensure that you don't regret it is to have a lot of communication and be on the same page. Because even if it's something that doesn't turn out right, you can kind of go, well, that was something we tried and it certainly wasn't what we thought it would be. But see, you're still a team that way. You're still consensual. You still had an agreement and you tried it out and it didn't work, right? So, yes, talk about it. Talk about it a lot, lot, lot. Okay, good luck to you, sir. And hey, wow, we're done. 2 full podcasts, and you guys were so overdue. I'm happy to give you both. My next webinar is Monday, April 1st at 6 p.m. Pacific time. So, hey, April Fools, come to the pegging webinar. And I am keeping to my promise that I will have both the webinars of advanced pegging and where can I find a woman to peg me ready by the end of the month. I am working hard on those babies, man. You guys would be proud of me. I think I stepped over that line of the fear. I let someone beat me. It sounds so ridiculous when I say it, but hey, this is the reality. And now I am walking down paths with more ease. Swear to God. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com is an informational pegging articles only website with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website. The Follow tab has links to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page, and my MeWe discussion group. If you order some sexy new toys from Entice Me, use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too comical, too cynical, or too crazy. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so please don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging. And #no shame.